And so what Paul is telling us in the book of Romans is that you're dead to the old. Okay, the old standard life you used to have, you know, the old going through the gears and grinding and doing all of that effort and still failing at it. He says it's over. You've received an automatic transmission. You've received newness of life. I've put my power in you. Now it's you trusting in me to change the gears for you. It's different. It's all new. And God wants to show us this. And Paul wanted to teach the church that there's different things that they can do to transition from the old into the new. The reality is that you are dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. But the problem is your habits and your patterns still need to be broken in order for you to walk in newness of life. And so we're just going to read as a review the first part. So we're going to read right through to verse 4 here on Romans 6. And it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Remember, inconceivable. No way. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know? How can you not know this? That you were baptized into Christ Jesus, and in being baptized into Christ Jesus, you're baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. I love this word for buried with. It is a Greek word which literally is talking about like a committal or a burial service. But the important part of the word is the little part that's in front. When Paul says the word with, buried with Christ, it's either going to be two words to put with and buried together. It's either going to be meta or soon. Okay? So it's important to know the difference. The other day I was making quiche. I made some yesterday. And here's the ingredients. Okay? They're all laid out. And they all need to come together. These ingredients are meta. They are with each other. They're all laid out. They're ready to go. But the key is, I can at any time change my mind and put those ingredients aside. I can say, you know what? I decided not to make quiche. It's too much work. In fact, actually, I made the quiche and I never got to eat any because I had to leave. So it was kind of sad. But it's meta. They're on the side. Paul didn't use that word. He used a different one. He used the Greek word soon, which is this version, okay? Now, I don't go home and tell people, would your pastor preach? He told us that we need to be baked, okay? But this is a perfect picture of what Paul's saying. He's saying that you were buried with him, and therefore, at this point, this is inseparable. There's no going back, right? You can't go back into a life of sin. You'll never be happy there. You'll be miserable there. You know, I love the fact that really you ruined sin for yourself. You put your trust in Jesus Christ. You'll never be happy. You'll find yourself always torn for the rest of your life. You can try to walk in sin. You can try it. But you will never have satisfaction there. You never were going to anyways. But as a Christian, it definitely is not the way in which we can walk. We are together soon with Christ, buried with him. Another picture of this, it's better than quiche, is the three on the cross, okay? You look at the three on the cross. Jesus, the one who died for our sins. One of the people on the cross, he was with Jesus. He was physically on the cross, and he died with Christ, okay? But he spent eternity in hell because he rejected Christ. The other one put his faith in Jesus Christ, and therefore he died with Jesus Christ. He was buried with Christ and he was raised with Christ, and Jesus gave him that promise on the cross that you will be with me for eternity. That is what Paul is saying here when he says we are buried with Christ. I like what James Vernon McGee, what he says. You guys probably heard him on the radio. I love these old radio preachers. But he says there's only two places for your sin. Either they were on Christ when he died for you over 1900 years ago because you trusted him as your savior, or they are on you today and judgment is ahead of you. There's no third place for them. There's no third place for your sin. Either you put your sin on Jesus and it's done. It's dealt with on the cross. You died. Remember last week, you died where? Golgotha. When? About 32 AD. You died on the cross with Jesus Christ. But there's no third place because they're either on Jesus or they are on you because you have not yet repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ. And so it's so important to know that you need to respond to the gospel. It's not enough just to know this stuff, but every person needs to respond and say, Jesus, I trust you as my Savior. Don't trust your parents' or your grandparents' faith. Don't trust in their faith and think that what they did is good enough. It needs to be your trust in Jesus Christ. Did you put your trust in Jesus? Did you ask forgiveness of your sins? And have you decided to follow after him? It says that he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And I used to look at that and I used to think, okay, the glory of the Father in this particular picture is just the resurrection power, which is amazing. But then when I got studying it, I realized that every time it talks about God's glory, it's actually all of God's attributes. All of his attributes come together when it talks about his glory. And I looked at the cross again with a new light, and I started to see his wisdom. Look at the wisdom of his plan. I started to see his mercy. I started to see his amazing power. I started to see his grace, his patience, his long-bearing, how he put up with sin for so long in order that he would one day send a Savior and have a plan for all to put their trust in Jesus Christ. And so when it says that we're raised by the glory of the Father, it's everything that God is, everything that he desires for us. Now, I love the fact that he tells us to walk, that we're walking in newness of life. He could have used other illustrations. Back then they had sailing. He could have said, riding a horse for Jesus, or now we're sailing. You know, he could have used all kinds of illustrations, but he used walk. The reason why I like walk is because it's simple. Walking is so simple. Really, for walking, there's two steps involved. Right? Repeat. That's it. Two steps. And so Paul lays out for us in his other books, he lays out for us, and in the book of Romans, what these steps are, what it looks like to walk the walk, a life in Jesus Christ. It's not complicated. It's one foot in front of the other. Amen? Now, here's the picture. Look at this in Ephesians 4. That you put off your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you see that? This is what we need to do. We need to learn how to walk like this. Put off the old man. I'm dead. We take one step. I'm dead to sin. I'm walking in his power. I am alive to God. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. That's the walk. Every step is another step into his grace. And it's a recognition. I've died to sin. I'm alive to God. And this is what the scripture shows us so clearly over and over again. It used to be that my steps were like this. It was like sin, death, with a little bit of guilt in here and shame and everything else terrible. That's why Paul says, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? Why would you go back to those things? There's nothing good there. I love what D.L. Moody says. He says that every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. We actually give out Bibles to the youth. They always love to take these right away whenever I can find them. But it's Bibles that are made out of like shoe material, and then they have shoelaces. And the funny thing is, I never really thought about it till now, until I was working on the sermon, thinking, oh yeah, you walk out the word, right? That's kind of why they designed the Bible that way. I guess I should have told the youth that when we gave it to them, that you got to walk this out. I just figured that somebody, you know, just was looking for new material to make Bibles out of. I didn't know. But this is D.L. Moody. Every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. In other words, the Bible, the Word of God, needs to be walked out. The problem is that many Christians get stuck in toddler mode. And do you know how toddlers, a lot of them will reach a spot in their learning how to walk where they will cheat. Not all kids do this. A lot of them learn how to walk and are very successful. But there's some kids who get stuck in a mode where, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but I call it the butt shuffle. You ever seen that? No? I think one of our kids did this. But anyways, they sit on the one leg. You know, I'll illustrate for you the butt shuffle. Okay? It's something like that. Okay? They get one leg out in front, and they shuffle around on their butt. And what happens is suddenly they realize, hey, I can get around quite fine. I don't need to learn how to stand up and do all that scary stuff. I'm just going to just do the butt shuffle. And so they do this, and it delays them in their growth because they are slower to learn how to walk because they get a little lazy. And so Paul, that's why he has to tell us these things. I mean, if we were to look at it and we'd say, okay, I thought that Jesus came and he died so that we wouldn't have to be under the law. And so the New Testament shouldn't tell us or give us any commands. The life should just flow from us naturally and we shouldn't have to have any other instruction. And yet you look through the New Testament and you have anything but that. You have in every book there's instruction. There's all kinds of instruction to put off the old, put on the new. Put off the old, put on the new. That's what walking is. That's what it looks like. Here's some pictures of it. Verse 25 of Ephesians 4. Put away lying. One step. I used to lie. How many of you can say, I used to lie? I used to lie. Why? Because we got to try to cover up, to make it look good. One little kid got caught for lying, and he had to confess and everything, I think the pastor or someone is talking to the kids like, what's the Bible say about lying? And it says, thou shalt not lie, you know, or give false witness or whatever. And the kid quoted a scripture, but he says also, he says, God is your very present help in time of need. In other words, lying can be quite convenient. So he was trying to justify, right? But here we have, here, you put off lying, and what do? Speak truth. You understand that? You see how simple that is? You put off lying, you speak truth. And you see these throughout the Bible over and over. Paul does this. Others do this. They give you pictures of it. Another one is, let him who steals, steal no longer. Okay? I used to steal. Stole 10 bucks off my parents once. And I'm confessing right now. And if you want to find your $10, I felt so guilty. I stuck it in this little wallet thing, and I threw it in the field because I didn't even want it. I felt so disgusted with it. I did. I threw it out. See, that's what happens when you sin as a Christian. You just feel absolutely miserable. It eats you alive. We also broke a plate and hid it in the basement. So, steal no longer, okay? It never did anything for you in the first place. You can't enjoy things you steal. If you ever stole a candy bar from the store, you ate that thing so fast and felt so sick about it. You never enjoyed it. It's like, you eat it and you're like, what was the point in that, you know? But you can get a taste for stealing after a while. If you live in it for a while, you can get a taste for it to the point where all you enjoy is stolen goods. You know, that's what adultery is all about. Anyways, you put away stealing. You take another step. What's the step that you take to replace stealing? You start to work with your hands. You feel good about it. You earn something. You do something. And the bonus is that you get to help others who don't have anything. And that's what Paul says. He says that once you start working, you have something to give to people in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. I'm dead to that. That's all I used to do. It used to be every other word was a corrupt word. But rather, what do you replace it with? It says, but what is good for necessary edification? In other words, I'm not going to talk dirty anymore. I'm not going to talk the way I used to talk. I'm not going to rip people down. Instead, I'm going to encourage. I'm going to build people up. You see how this is going? It's just one step, one foot in front of the other. This is how it's walked out. And instead, what people often do is they just kind of justify their sin, and they say things like, you know, it's because I'm Irish, you know, or I'm Dutch, or, you know, that's why I talk the way I do, or that's what I say what I do, or, you know, it's because I grew up in this or I grew up in that. Paul says, no excuse. You died to that. You know, there's no free or slave, there's no Jew or Gentile, male or female. We are all in Christ. We are all new creations in Christ Jesus. And then he gives two more at the end, and he packs a whole bunch in one verse. He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay, there's a big step. Get rid of all that junk. And then he says, and what do? You be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And there's your other step. So it's a constant process of realizing, you know what? Old life, I'm dead to that. I'm dying, I'm living, I'm dead, I'm living. It's gone, it's in the past, and I'm alive in Jesus Christ. And these are the things I was created for. Now, you look at this, and you look at all of these different things that Paul's saying, and you might be tempted to ask, well, aren't we slipping back into legalism by all these do not do things? Right? Doesn't it sound like we're slipping back into a bunch of rules of all the things we shouldn't do? Aren't we dead to the law? Here's the difference. When the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not covet, it's saying to you, you should not do the thing which you cannot help but do. That's really what it's saying. You shouldn't do, you cannot, you shall not do that, and yet you cannot help but doing that, but do that. You want what other people have, and you want it for yourself. And so the law says, it says, do this and live, the law commands, but it gives you neither feet nor hands. A better word the gospel brings, it bids you fly and it gives you wings. Here's the difference. The law tells you that you need to do all of these things, and this is his standard for you, and you can't do those things. The gospel says that God wants you to live this new life, and he is going to put this life in you, and now you live it from his strength, from the newness of life. You see, when it's talking about newness in here, this is an important word too. It's not just talking about something that is new, but the old model, okay? You are not an Adam upgrade, okay? You're not like my car at one time, it was a new car and now it's an old car. It's not that it's just a new old car. You are not just a new old Adam. This is the key. Okay, I'm gonna give you an illustration to illustrate this that will make it very clear. I bought a Sony Handycam years ago, and I thought, I'm going to be smart, and I bought the warranty on this camera, and it was a good thing I did because I use my cameras a lot. If you know me, I love to video, and so I'm always videoing with my camera, and it breaks, and they told me that if it broke 3 times in 3 years, I get a brand new camera, and if the old model is not available, I will get the brand new model. So I will not get a new old camera. I will get a new camera. You understand that? So anyways, my camera breaks. The strip on the top of the camera broke. The same thing happened 3 times. And I was like, yes. Okay? I knew that that model was a dud. Why? Because the same thing broke on it 3 times. So on the day before the warranty expired, I went into Future Shop at the time, and I handed that camera to them, and I said, this is the 3rd time. I said, I am ready for my new camera. And I was so excited because I thought, there's no way they're still making the same old camera. This has been 3 years. There's no way they have that model. The guy goes out back, and he comes up with a box, and he says, you're in luck. We still have your old camera. I wanted to just run out of that store and go to another Future Shop that had run out of this stupid old model because it was a broken old thing. I didn't want the old model. I wanted the new camera, right? And this is exactly what Paul is talking about. He says, how do I want you to walk? I want you to walk in newness of life. You are not a new old Adam. You are a new creation in Christ. And he has put his newness of life. And another thing to recognize is that it's not like he's just saying, I want you to walk in a new way of life. It's actually saying, I am giving you a new source of life. That this newness of life is the source from which you will live your new life. It's not just a new life, but it's a new source. The old source was Adam. You lived out of Adam. You lived out of sin. But the newness is Jesus Christ and the life of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so my challenge to you as a church today is as you read through the word and as you read these things, to recognize that all the things that God challenges you with in your life, all the old that he's saying, hey, drop this. This is useless. This is your old life. You take that step and you drop it because the word of God tells you to drop it. You are not that person anymore. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then you look at the word and say, well, obviously it's not enough just to not do the things that I shouldn't do. I want to walk out the things that God wants. I want a full life. I want to experience this newness of life. I want to bring change and life and light and everything that God is. I want to show his glory to this world. I want to show his love. I want to show his strength. I want to show all the things that God has shown to me. Remember last week, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me.